and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. And when we think about just last words to you, like, what in the world could we possibly leave you as a parting word? I guess what I want to do is put a picture in your head, if I could. David was a cunning player. You know what that means? He worked hard at it. He was skillful at it, to the point where he could play before a king. If you have a skill or a talent, you do something well, work at that thing. Consider David. David played on a harp. Now, it probably wasn't very big. He set out, he was a shepherd, set out in the field. He carried this thing with him. So he probably, I don't know how he played it. I haven't got a clue. What I do know is that from that one instrument came a lot of different inventions. We have something called the sitar. You get the hammer. Or, a sitar is like a, it's got a big old long neck and it's got strings on it. Probably turned into the guitar, which is what we used last night at the bonfire. But then there's also the dulcimer, where you lay the thing flat and you hit the strings with hammers that are padded. Later on, they took that thing and stretched the harp, the big old, laid it flat horizontally, and you know what it is today? It's a big piano, isn't it? And people play it, man, and we have all these beautiful, beautiful music, but people work at 88 keys, and people will study it and figure it out. Some play the guitar, and I know Kevin is playing the guitar, and he is brilliant at just playing at a class. In other words, he's putting the time in to become a cunning player. David was chosen to play before a king. Guys, you're leaving here, you're going home. You're going to go back into the world. But one thing I'd like to leave with you is the picture of this harp. I've seen guys throw the things around, bounce them off the walls, rip the strings off and all. But the thing, this was not designed to play. It doesn't play. It doesn't make any real good sound at all. But it wasn't designed for that. What it was designed for would be just a picture, a mental reminder for you. When you leave here, I just want to leave something with you. I think somebody picked up a stick one day, stuck some long horse hair on a thing, took their harp and went, and said, well, that sounds cool. And they kept working at it. Pretty soon, it turned into the violin. Kind of interesting. I just want to share with you. You guys saw me down there sweeping away. I'm vacuuming the floor. I'm not the designated cleaner guy. I'm not. I just did it because I wanted to. But when I started at the front, and I started the carpet, I thought, man, wow, there's a lot of carpets here, man. But I got this idea. I'm going to go all the way to the end. So I kept on vacuuming, went to the next door. Man, there was a whole other room. I vacuumed that thing. Then there was a whole other room. Vacuumed that thing all the way down to the climbing wall. I'm like, man, but there's a good illustration here. I just kept on doing it. Other people were off doing what they had to do, but I just kept on going, man. And you know what? You need to keep on going. Go for, when you leave here, you go back into the world, man. But we want you to be, at least go away with this mental picture. You're going to become cunning, strong, good at whatever you go all the way. Go all the way with the Lord. You know, boys and girls, there was a guy, a man by the name of, you know what, I don't know what his name was. Graduate of Maranatha Baptist Bible College. He became the world champion wrestler. 80s, 90s, don't even know the date. I was home, I think, in 2005 and or 7. I forget what it was. Can't even be that. 2008. Do you know the guy's name? Rudy something, wasn't it? All right, anyways, he was a gold medal champion. And these are some of the words he said. That's stuck in my head. He said, strive for perfection. Accept excellence. Strive for perfection. Accept excellence. You guys, some of you play sports, some of you play instruments. Strive to be better. Why? So that people can say, put your name on a light, give you money. Uh-uh. So that God can be glorified. David, he was good at playing the harp, and then he was chosen to stand before a king. You know what? Not so he could get his name up on lights. Man, he gave glory to God. That's what your life is here for. To bring glory to God. So you play a good instrument? Play a good instrument, man. Go all the way with that thing. You can bring glory to God. Use your gifts and talents for the Lord. Strive for perfection. Every single one of you guys. You can do something good.
Go all the way, man.
And the next door is going to open, and you're going to go, man, I got a long way to go here. And you just keep on going, working away at it. And then the next door is going to open, and you go, man, alive. There's another door. But you know what? Eventually, you get to the end. There was a guy named Antonio Stradivari, 17th century violin maker. He made this statement. When my master holds 'twixt chin and hand a violin of mine, he'll be glad that Stradivari lived, made violins, and made them of the best. If my hand slacks, I should rob God, since he is the fullest good. But he could not make Antonio Stradivari's violins without Antonio. And you say, oh, that sounds kind of bold, doesn't it? Antonio Stradivari, whose name in its Latin form is Stradivarius, has become synonymous with excellence. He's the one who said all that. And he was right. God could not make Antonio Stradivarius violins without Stradivari. You know what? God wants to use you. You know, God's not creating today. He's not. He doesn't make just harps pop out of nowhere like he did the trees and the grass and all the fish of the sea. He takes people. He uses them to be involved in his work. You are special. You're a children. You're somebody to be used to bring glory to God. Go away from this camp having been challenged to live a godly life, to be pure, to be holy, to be strong, to fight. I want to give you something, though, more than that before I go. I don't know what God designed for you. I don't know. But remember that little sign, that sign we had up here, David and Goliath and all? He fought that giant and he won, not in his own strength, in the power of God. All this week we have worked through the Word of God, through activities, through singing, just to try and prepare you for leaving here and being a humble servant. And I want you to go away with that. Be the best you can be in serving God. And if you kids, if you looked around this room right now, there's boys and girls that sat here. And we were down in Bannon, they sat here. You know what? Some of those kids left here, and they didn't fight the battle. They fell. You look around. Some of the kids are not here. They could be here that aren't here. Some of them stumbled and fell. Some of them had children out of wedlock and got married because they had to. Some of them have rebelled against God and their parents. And they're probably going to go the same stinking direction. They sat right here in these chairs. They heard the preaching of the Word of God. And they walked out of here and they were just like Saul. And they said, I don't really care that much about the spiritual things. And their lives are, they're struggling. And some of them love God. And now they got to pick themselves up. But what we want you kids to do is walk out of here and take all that advice and don't forget what David was, a cunning player. He wanted to be excellent. And then God chose him to stand before kings. Some of you, where are you going to be in a year from now? We're going to be in a week from now. In a few hours from now, some of you will already forget a lot of the things that you learned unless you work at it. I was telling Jonathan, John, man, I think I should have changed the words. I should have said, plan to be a David. Plan to have the heart of a king. Plan to be a vessel pure. Plan to fight and win. Because if you don't plan to do that, you'll fall. You've got to plan. You have to desire. You have to want it. All right. Some of them be like Saul. They didn't care. But some of you are going to stand. You are going to make the decisions. You're going to be unmoving. You're going to call upon the name. I want you today to learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. We're driving along down in Wisconsin. I used to live in Michigan, and we went to school in Wisconsin. It snows there. Snow 2 or 3 feet. Sometimes you get further north, 6 feet in the winter, not all at once, but sometimes you get, the roads are always snow-covered and slippery. I grew up driving on ice. It was just normal for us. And I remember coming around a corner one time, and the car started sliding out of control. My wife said, God, help us. And she said, Lord, help us right now. And I'm like, whoa, that was great. And he did. He straightened her car out, and off we went. But it gave me a mental picture of how to call upon the name of the Lord. Folks, when you're faced with temptation, Now, first of all, if you're not saved, well, you should be by now with all the preaching and everything, but you might not be. You might still be walking out here. You just had an emotional experience. You still don't know the Lord. Look, call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And if you do it in honesty and humility, He will. You're getting discouraged. You're going to go back to school, man. We're going back to school. Don't be discouraged. God wants you. That's your job. And you get in there. The Bible says, you lack wisdom? Say, God, your wisdom today. I need your wisdom. You stand before, you get tempted with something? Say, God, you know what? Your purity. Your purity. Ask Him for it. Call on Him. Call on the name of the Lord. That day when David stood out there in front of the giant, he said, you're coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. And so what was he doing? He was calling upon the name of the Lord. He was actually taking him as his rock. You just claim his presence. He's already with you. If you're saved, he is with you. But don't hide, don't push him away like Saul did. Man, buck up. Be a good Christian. Be a strong one. That's going to demand that you love Him, that you're not afraid, that you're not ashamed of Him. It's the humble ones that win. We were playing that game out there, and I said, you're going to have to be humble to find that little gold brick. And finally, some of you figured out, oh, you got to bend down. Get in there, man. Humble yourself for the Lord. He'll lift you up. The normal Christian life is victory. It is. You should not be. If you're saved and you keep on wallowing in sin, the problem is you're not calling on, you're not depending on what you already have. You got to claim it. God, your purity. Lord, right now, I need your purity. My mind is done. Confess your sin quickly, but claim His promises. Let Him be your rock, your fortress, your hiding place. Amen? We can't leave you with anything. Go away with a mental picture of a guy who started with a humble little heart, but became known to us as David, the giant killer. We're going to close in prayer. There's nothing else we can do. Go home, but go in the power of Almighty God. Amen. And don't forget that little picture of the little guy out there fighting a great big guy. God did it because he depended on God. When you get back in school, you get back in your house, you get back in the world, you have to do the same exact thing. You're too small. You can't fight the battle, but you say, God, I need your strength right now. Your holiness, your purity, your godliness, whatever you need, ask Him for it at the very moment you need it. And trust Him, and He will provide, just like He did for David. Let's pray. I love you, Lord. Thank you for each boy and girl in this room. Each man and woman, Father, I pray you'd help us strive for excellence to make Stradivarius out of our lives. When people are around us, we're not all depressed and we're not all wiped out. We actually are dependent on you for the power. Lord, I pray you teach each one of us to trust and depend upon you like David did. May you receive honor and glory from each life that's here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.